Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
This all started because Jeff made the statement that under my brother, we were safe. Well, if he would have qualified by saying after the attack, but he didn't do that.
All right, that's Donald Trump, that bombshell, essentially wrapping the presidency of George W. Bush in blame for the 9/11 attacks. The fallout continues. The exchange clearly touching a nerve, re-energizing, actually, the debate over the catastrophic attack 14 years ago, the single most successful terror attack in history. You recall that Trump said yesterday that if he was the president at the time, maybe the attacks would not have succeeded because the hijackers would not have been in the country, maybe, says Trump, because of his tough anti-immigration policies. Does that ring true? Let's ask Congressman Peter King, a man who we hold in the highest regard. Long time no see, Congressman. How you doing?
Geraldo, how are you doing? I'm doing fine.
So you were really angered by what the billionaire businessman said about George W. Bush and responsibility for 9/11. Tell me why.
Yeah, Geraldo, it was totally irresponsible. And let me say up front that Donald Trump has contributed to me in the past, and also I have no involvement whatsoever with the Bush campaign. So this is not political, but it's really setting the record straight. I mean, I was there with President Bush in the days, months, and years after 9/11. But I also know what happened before 9/11. And for Donald Trump to imply in any way that George Bush had a responsibility or that he knew it was happening, it was totally untrue. You go back, and it was President Bush who asked for continued briefings from the CIA. He received one on August 6th where they specifically said there was absolutely no evidence at all of any particular threat against the United States. George Tenet, in his memoirs, was head of the CIA, who had actually been appointed by Bill Clinton, he also says they had no evidence at all. They were concerned about specific attacks in Europe, and they were concerned, as they've been for a number of years, about the possibility of attacks in the U.S., but they said they had no evidence at all that one was being planned. They had no evidence that it was going to happen, and if they had, obviously would have gone to the president, they would have told him, but they didn't. So for what's happening here is Donald Trump is parroting what left-wing wackos like Michael Moore have tried to say and what the Democrats have tried to say, some Democrats, not all, and somehow blaming George Bush for 9/11. Now, I remember being in the White House with George Bush right after 9/11. I guess it was 2 days after 9/11. And basically what he told Republicans was that he did not want anyone taking any shots at Bill Clinton over this. He said this was not something that could have been prevented based on what we knew at the time, but he was going to make sure it never happened again. And what he did after 9/11 to put that whole counterterrorism infrastructure in place has prevented any attack like this. And for Donald Trump to say that his immigration policies, listen, I'm against illegal immigration. You and I have differences and nuance over it. But the fact is, illegal immigration, of those 19 hijackers, 13 were in the country legally. In any of the attempted attacks since 9/11, they've been people living here in the United States, people living legally in the United States. So we could have the tightest borders in the world, and still 95% of the jihadist Islamic threat against the U.S. would continue today. So if he wants to be commander-in-chief, he better get off this Johnny Windmill thing. Everything is because of illegal immigration. It's not true, and it's dangerous to the country. And to me, if that's his level of knowledge, he's not fit to be commander-in-chief.
Not fit to be commander-in-chief, says Congressman Peter King about Donald Trump after Trump's bombshell, essentially wrapping the presidency of George W. Bush in blame for the 9/11 attacks. What about the discussion that has ensued after Trump exploded this statement and this whole line of thinking? Is this a good thing to reappraise what happened on 9/11? You know, you got all these crazy conspiracy theories, inside job, all the rest of it. Is it a good thing, or do you think Trump has unsettled the country for his own personal gain?
I think he's doing it for his own. Again, I don't know what his motives are, but all it can do is maybe help him politically in the short run. It served no purpose at all. Listen, I'm more than willing to have a debate over what happened before 9/11 to show what we can do to prevent attacks in the future. But that's what George Bush did back in 2001 and 2002, when he put this whole counterterrorism infrastructure in place. Now, that has to be changed and adapted, because as we've put measures in place, ISIS has adapted to it and Al-Qaeda has adapted to it. That should be the debate. But for him to somehow, you know, be going after President Bush for this, remember, this started during the administration of Bill Clinton, but I'm not blaming him. I mean, it was back in 1999 and 2000, certainly in 2000, where this attack was being planned and where the first steps were being taken.
The one thing there is, Congressman King, and I don't mean to interrupt you, there is, or as I recall, this finding that of all of the problems we had in terms of interagency communication between the NSA and the CIA and the FBI. Other directors of intelligence, that contributed to that there was some, if not blame, there is some finding of fault within our own intelligence community that we subsequently have adapted and changed.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to pass the buck here, but that's the system that was in place for years. That's what President Bush inherited. He was in office 8 months, and there was the CIA structure, the FBI structure, the NSA structure. There was a lack of cooperation with local law enforcement. All that was in place, and that was in place for 20, 30 years before President Bush ever got there. No one would expect a president to come in the first 8 months and revamp all of that, especially since there's no evidence that Bill Clinton ever told him to be on the lookout for this. When he kept asking the CIA, and they told him there was no evidence of a threat, of a plot, an active plot against the U.S. But he did. He went out and dramatically changed it. And in doing that, he's been attacked by many liberal groups and civil liberties groups. So really, Donald Trump is sort of putting himself in the same camp as Michael Moore and the left-wing government.
I got that. Are you backing Jeb Bush, Congressman King?
I'm not. I haven't endorsed anyone yet. I have no involvement with the Bush campaign whatsoever.
So going forward, are you shocked that Trump is doing so well and he's been so resilient? You've got these new polls out that show him clearly leading. He's at 27, according to the CNN poll, 22 for Carson, everybody else down in single digits. The NBC Wall Street Journal poll has him, Trump, at 25, Carson at 22. I mean, it's been months now.
No, Donald Trump is running an exceptionally strong campaign, and I've not been overly critical of Donald Trump in the past. I mean, I disagree with the way he was characterizing Mexicans and issues like that. But I have said that Donald Trump is tapping into a very sensitive nerve here. People are fed up with conventional politics. They're fed up with political correctness, and Donald Trump is tapping into that. But if he wants to go beyond that, he has to stop falling into the conspiracy theory, and he has to start showing that he has a real knowledge of what it takes to be president. Otherwise, he's not qualified to be president. I'm saying that. I mean, this is an issue that I'm almost consumed by, and I'm not saying everyone has to be a genius on homeland security or counterterrorism, but you have to have more of a knowledge than to think that if you stop student visas of immigrants coming into the U.S., you're going to stop the threat of ISIS or Al-Qaeda. That's crazy.
Okay, I got that. Let me, before I let you go, just on a local matter in your district, Northern State Parkway last night, or this morning, actually, a wrong-way crash on the parkway, two dead. You know anything about it?
No, I've actually been talking to the police today. I'm trying to find out what it was about. It was a very horrific accident, though. But again, that's all I know. But I do know that it is horrific, and I'll just leave it at that right now.
Okay. Congressman Peter King, you know, we love you, man.
Thank you, Rollo. Thank you.
Okay, talk to you soon. Okay. Congressman Peter King. Okay, let me talk more about the politics. What I find fascinating about this, and I got a lot of things I want to talk to you about this morning. Noam Layden, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks.
So, did you see the Star Wars trailer?
I did.
Okay, I want to talk about that. Talk about this whole race scandal or controversy that's dogging it. Before I do, I want to play a soundbite from Donald Trump this morning on whether or not, you know, the polls I just mentioned. Let me just restate them. CNN has him at 27. Donald Trump has Ben Carson at 22. And then you go Rubio, Bush, 8-8, Cruz, 4, Fiorina, 4, she's disappearing. So NBC has Trump at 25, Carson at 22, again at 22. So what the big story here, obviously, is not only Trump's resilience, but the fact that Dr. Ben Carson is nipping at his heels. This morning on CNN, Trump was asked whether he would ever consider Ben Carson. Well, here, listen.
Well, we've hit a chord, and we're not as different as people think. You know, we have a very good relationship, but there is a certainly different style. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have some great assets, and he has some great assets. But we are both resonating. There's no question about it. And NBC just came out with their poll, and it's very similar. I'm in first place,
yeah.
And Ben's in second place. And then I went up a lot, and from my original, I've gone up a lot. And, you know, it's the other candidates are very similar, so maybe these polls are starting to really accurate out.
Can you imagine a Trump-Carson ticket?
Well, I like him. He likes me. I mean, stranger things have happened, that I can tell you, but it's too early to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly is interesting. So many people have suggested it because we seem to be doing awfully well.
So Trump-Carson, what do you think? I want you to, I know we've got a lot of calls. I'm going to take the calls we already have, 866-ERALDO, but what do you think of a Trump-Carson ticket? The upside is, obviously, these two men are resonating with Republican primary voters. Between the two of them, they're well over, or at least somewhat over 50% of all Republican voters. Everybody else is faded and is fading or holding solid at in single digits. Trump now 27, Carson 22, or in NBC 25-22. Together, the men would seem to be a very strong ticket, at least in terms of popularity. But remember, both are outsiders. Neither has any experience running, you know, a government agency or, you know, Trump obviously has run a corporation. Ben Carson is a brilliant neurosurgeon. What do you think of that combo, that potential combo, Trump-Carson? Would it be harder or more difficult for Hillary Clinton and some, you know, ordinary Democratic vice presidential politician in the second spot on the Democratic side? Would it be, could Trump Carson prevail? Is that a good idea to inexperienced guys or to outsiders? Is that a good idea? You know, what do you think? We'll talk about that. And then I want to swing back to this whole thing about Star Wars, because I am a star. Do you love Star Wars? No.
I don't know if I love Star Wars, but I definitely watched the, you know, the trailer last night.
You watched that football game?
I the first quarter I thought, geez, okay, I can go to bed. And then I did go to bed and woke up and I was shocked because the Giants scored first. I thought, oh, this game's over.
You know, me too. I watched the first quarter, then I put Saul to bed and with Mama, and then I came back in and man, oh man. Guns, you there, Guns? Hello,
right,
Guns.
How are you?
Guns,
hey,
where exactly are you?
I'm on the corner of West 17th between 7th and 8th Ave, where there was a 5-alarm fire earlier this morning. 250 firefighters responded. Luckily, though, it seems that there were earlier reports that they were worried that the building was going to collapse, but we've since found out that they don't think it is going to anymore. But it was crazy. Definitely this morning between 3 and 4 a.m. I mean, just the streets are still all blocked around here between 7th and 8th Avenue on 17th, but definitely a huge fire earlier today by far.
So there must be massive traffic buildups?
It looks like it's starting to flow on 7th Avenue a little bit better. I mean, you know, just from earlier, though, it looked definitely chaotic. And then they've evacuated 3 apartment buildings. They were all full of people. They were all evacuated this morning as well. Luckily, the building itself, which is six stories high, that was empty. It was being constructed on. So there was only one security guard in there, and that person came out all right. But the building itself, the whole front of it is all a brick building, which has quickly turned to black brick. Still some small pockets of fire here and there, but they believe that they had the building stabilized. And earlier today, they were worried, as of up to an hour ago, that it was going to collapse. But it looks like things seem to be a little bit better here, but still if you're in the area, probably get some traffic. And if you live around here, you're probably not going back anytime soon.
Guns Gunselman will report back.
I love Star Wars, by the way. I'm a huge Star Wars fan.
So what do you think about this, the feeling among some on the web that the new Star Wars movie is Black Lives Matter on film?
These people need to shut up. Come on already. I mean, I mean, can you not enjoy anything these days? This political correctness or just the complaining that goes on is ridiculous. We should just be happy there's a new Star Wars and it looks awesome. And we found Harrison Ford. He's not dead. We found him. They brought him back to life.
Carrie Fisher. Did you see a shot of her, too?
Oh, yeah. Princess Leia. I'm all about her. You kidding me? Hell yeah.
19 minutes after, we'll check back with Guns that talk with Gnome. We got your calls online. We're tracking that big fire down in Chelsea on 17th Street. Guns is there between 7th and 8th Avenue. He reports the place is swarming with firefighters. The five-alarm fire has been extinguished, but there's still plenty of smoke, some flames. Not totally extinguished, but generally extinguished. The building no longer, they told Guns, in danger of collapsing, but it's not going to house those multi-million-dollar condominiums anytime soon. We're tracking that. If we get any more information about this this horrible crash on the Northern State Parkway in Dix Hills between exits 41 and 42, some person driving the wrong way, I heard tale of a police chase. We'll if we get any meaningful information, I'll update you on that. At the bottom of the hour, at 36, I want to play for you an epic confrontation I had on the 5 yesterday, bringing up...
a confrontation on the 5? I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, me too.
Shocking.
Man. Shocking. This is shocking. What do you think of Carson Trump?
What do I think, Carson Trump? I don't think it's going to happen, because I think Trump's smart enough to know that if he's the top of the ticket, he has to have somebody who is in politics at the bottom of the ticket. I think it's
only going to help
him.
That's true anymore. Hear me out. Since you have Trump as this outrageously non-conventional candidate who is a successful person and who is obviously resonating to the profound extent that we are witnessing. And Dr. Ben Carson, you could not get further out. I mean, is it brain science? Yeah, it's brain science. It's not politics. Could not get further away from politics than Ben Carson. And together, absolutely dominating the field in a way that should be humiliating to these career politicians. What you see is a feeling that if you grew up in politics, like Bill de Blasio, Mayor Bill de Blasio, he's been in politics since he was like 4 years old. He went to this job and then the next slightly bigger job and the next biggest job and then public advocate and blah, blah, blah. I mean, such a predictable track. Never worked in the private sector. Did Jeb Bush? Jeb Bush never worked in the private sector until after he was governor, as far as I recall. And then he took jobs like these lobbyists take jobs. You know, politicians have become lobbyists and generals become lobbyists and this and that. I think that the country really is ready. And when you think about it, Noam, who really runs the government? You have a permanent government. All these civil service guys, men and women, those are the people that run the government. Yes, you need someone who has sobriety and judgment when it comes to, obviously, war and peace, the most profound issues confronting any president. You need the quality of character. You need competence. But I'm not so sure that you need experience in government, per se, to have that job, which is basically, when you think about it, it's an inspirational job. It's a job where you say, come on, gang, follow me. John Kennedy, what did John Kennedy ever do as president? What he did was he made a couple of speeches that were terrific. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. That changed, this is ancient history to you. But to me, I remember as a young man just coming into manhood, hearing that just as I was graduating high school, saying, wow, that really has inspired and instilled something in me. I'm not so sure that you couldn't have a Trump
You card. Could, but I think you need those establishment Republicans who aren't Trump supporters right now. And if you have a Trump Carson ticket, you have some of those middle-of-the-road moderate Republicans might be willing to hold their nose and vote for whoever's on the other side, or maybe a third party candidate. I think they might. That's how much they dislike him.
All right, let me see. What are you thinking? What do you think, ladies and gentlemen? What's on your mind? The start in Staten Island today. Dom, thanks for calling 866 Geraldo. What's up? Go to 31, Crash. Go ahead, Dom. What's up?
How you doing? I thought when George H. was president, they were investigating the CIA when the Berlin Wall fell, and they couldn't believe it. And then what happens? They nominate Clarence Thomas, and everybody forgets about investigating the incompetence of the CIA.
Oh, that was interesting. Interesting point. I remember George H.W. Bush wasn't. I think he was director of the CIA, one of his jobs, as well as ambassador to China, leading up to his vice presidency. But the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, I mean, they get investigated every 10 years or so. So what are you thinking? Trump, Carson, what are you thinking? I'd love to know. Give me your feelings on that, 866 Geraldo. And there's so much. I've got to talk about Star Wars and race, of all things, coming up.
Stack banana till the morning come. Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me one go home.
Come, Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and me one go home.
Live
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch.
Daylight come and me one go home.
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch.
Daylight come and
Harry Belafonte. 60 years ago today, he released Deo. 60 years ago. The first million-selling album. He's a great guy. I've known him forever. I haven't seen him in years, though. I ran into him on Broadway by the McDonald's there on Broadway and 70th. And I walked past him. He was walking the other way, and I thought he was a fan. I just said, "Hey, you know, just my usual cool way." And he walked in a couple other steps, and he said, "Geraldo, it's Harry." And I turned around, I looked, and I said, "Oh, I was so embarrassed to see him." But what a great, great talent! Became more political in more recent years, but a wonderful guy. Mickey Mantle would have been 85 years old today. Talk about baseball greats. Mickey Mantle was my hero growing up. Now, I styled myself, say I wanted to look like Mickey Mantle. I parted my hair on the same side as Mickey Mantle. I wanted to be Mickey Mantle. It was just an amazing time. 85 he would have been today. Lamar Odom transferred from Las Vegas hospital by helicopter to Los Angeles, so he's definitely not dead.
Yeah, he's very much. In fact, they say he's doing okay. I mean, they're not saying he's doing great. He has like months, if maybe years of therapy ahead of him, but yeah, he's alive.
Well, it depends on how badly, and I didn't mean to laugh there. I was just laughing at my own mistake and reporting him dead on that TMZ report. But how long was that brain of his deprived, denied oxygen? I mean, that's the key.
Well, right? You know, there's these claims that he was texting. I don't know if that's accurate, because then we're hearing at the same time that he's going to have to learn to speak again. So it's hard to imagine that he would have all these other physical capabilities but not be able to speak.
One thing we know now for sure, that beautiful 38-year-old married mom of three who was discovered on October 4th down in Chelsea. We're talking about the fire in Chelsea. This is a different kind of fire. They got the autopsy back on Dr. Kirsten Rickenbach Cerveni. Just gorgeous. And it turns out that she did die of a drug overdose. I mean, I just can't see what the hell. Here she is, a happily married woman. I mean, I understand that plenty of happily married people are also cheaters and all the rest of it. But to go downtown and to just to get yourself in a place where you can overdose from cocaine, I mean, she had to be shooting it. I can't imagine, probably had a heart attack or whatever it is. But you can't snort your way to an overdose, I don't think.
You know, I covered the story a little bit more in depth for another gig on HLN that I do. And it was interesting. I talked to this one woman who was very friendly with her, and she said that Dr. Cerveni was one of these weekend partiers, and that if she had one or two drinks, she said friends would have to sort of gather around her and hold her up, because she wasn't good at holding her booze. And she said same held true for doing something more illicit, that she was just easily went under. And so she thought that maybe, you know, if she had had a few two drinks and people around her were partying with her, she might have kept partying, and that's what did her in.
Did her in, so now there's three children left without a mom. We're also getting news, and before I get back to our main topic on Trump and Ben Carson and whether or not they would make a good ticket, we're also getting news that that Senator Jim Webb, according to Newsweek, Webb is dropping out. He's expected to announce his decision to drop out of the Democratic race this afternoon. Fox News is reporting that. The campaign telling journalists that he is considering running as an independent, which will have as much success as he did running as a Democrat. But it was, you know, I tell you, the Saturday Night Live stuff, Noam, really is devastating to some of these candidates. I mean, he was so funny. Alec Baldwin playing Jim Webb, a war hero, wonderful, wonderful guy. But once they start to mock you, it's very hard to come back.
Yeah, well, and also, I mean, look, he was non-existent at that debate. I mean, if you were, you know, he needed to have that Carly Fiorina moment, and he didn't have it.
And Carly Fiorina's not having it either.
No.
And Justin Trudeau, the son of someone I used to date long, long ago, is
really
now Canada's new prime minister. Margaret Trudeau, wonderful, wonderful.
You dated
wonderful.
Pierre Trudeau?
Pierre was already out of the picture when I dated Margaret.
Okay.
You know, it was funny. I was in Canada not so long ago, and someone passed on regards from Pierre, now the Prime Minister of Canada. And I tell you, this is exactly the guy that Canada needed. He's got verve. He's got energy. He's got great looks. He's a smart guy. He's pro-choice. He's a feminist. He's old, you know, all this kind of modern kind of stuff. But the main thing is that Canada is so nice. Maybe he'll make give some some stiffness, if I can say that, to Canada's foreign policy and some of their other, you know, their approach to the world generally. Okay, back to politics. I want to do politics for the rest of this hour, and then I have to talk about Star Wars. I have to talk about race. I have to talk about Black Lives Matter. There's also a move now afoot to have a debate that centers on Black Lives Matter, on black issues. So we'll discuss that as well in the second hour. Right now, it's all about politics, though. And on Long Island, James is calling 866 Geraldo. Thank you very much for calling, James. What's on your mind, bud?
Good morning, Geraldo. How are you?
Excellent. Thanks.
I know how much you like Peter King.
I do.
I think he's the biggest kook out there with Graham. But how can somebody go to their superiors and say, you have all these people in Minnesota learning how to take off. That's all they want to learn is how to take off.
No, it's true. I get it.
Did they think they were going to leave Minnesota and go to Britain?
I only offer this, James. I only offer this. I mean, first of all, about Peter King, I love the guy. He is my congressman in the sense that, you know, the Rivera family for years. 614 9th Street in West Babylon. My brother Willie was the latest of us to live there. His widow Marianne and my Patricia, my niece, and her children live there now. He's our congressman. He's been our congressman for a long time. He's great for the district. I have tremendous regard for him as a backer of law enforcement and the military and the intelligence community. You know, and I also think that it's very easy, as Donald Trump, with all due respect, is doing right now, to look back and second guess. Oh, if only we had done this. If only we had seen that. If only, if only, if only, if only. The fact of the matter is the attacks on 9/11, on September 11, 2001, were the most successful terrorist attack in the history of the planet. It was a brilliant military move. They hit us using our own aircraft as weapons against us. The target that they picked could not have been better planned to cause a blow, a trillion-dollar blow to the U.S. and world economies. We have to give credit where credit is due. We hate them, the low lives, but they got us, and they got us good. And, you know, it's a wound that will be centuries in healing. We're barely getting over Pearl Harbor, for goodness sake. Which started, you know, our involvement in World War II. Okay, let me take one more before the break. Let me go to Edgewater. Edgewater, my adopted community. What's up, Dean? What are you thinking about?
Geraldo, I just want to say this. You are the most incredible, incredible, fair-minded guy. And I really love you for it.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
and I'm sure your viewer feel the same. In the meantime, the guy who answered your call is a wonderful. Now, listen, a couple of things, if you allow me to say so fast. One, what do you think of Trump-Corina ticket?
I don't know. I don't know that they can heal. You know, the, you know, you've never had any bad words between Trump and Carson other than Trump saying that Carson was an okay doctor, and they laughed that off. With Fiorina, I think that that rawness, I don't think that heals so quick. I'm not sure that they can now turn around and say, okay, let's be best friends.
But Geraldo, is it about feeling and what's been said, or it's about winning tickets?
But why would you want why Fiorina over Carson? What's wrong with Carson? Skilled person. He helps round out the ticket. Bravo. Maybe he gets a couple of extra African American votes.
Geraldo, bravo. I'm glad you said that. I'm only saying it from, you know, the gender point of view. Number one, both of them out of Washington, so they can really present themselves. Hey guys, we are not going to do the same old thing that the old politician in Washington do. Two, the female voter that will be split or will be taken away from
Hillary. It's a good point, Dean. I got to let you go, buddy, because I'm out of time. I got to take a commercial break. Thank you. All right. We'll be back. It is 48 minutes after 10 o'clock on this. What is it? Tuesday, the 20th of October.
All day.
Before the news, here from Morristown, Al is on the line. Al, what are you thinking about today?
Hello, are you aware that the Sudan offered to Bill Clinton Osama bin Laden, and Bill Clinton turned him down, saying we have enough to hold him on, and pleaded with the Sudan to give him to Saudi Arabia, and that was after bin Laden had declared war on the United States, head of the largest...
We were there. We were in, Craig and Greg and I were in the Sudan following the attack. Clinton launched a missile attack on an aspirin factory there in Sudan. It was kind of wacky, but we did visit Osama bin Laden's house there. It was one of the many houses I visited. I made a point of urinating on all of them. Remember that? But I was unaware that Sudan had a functioning government that could do anything, and it did not seem to me that Sudan was eager to help us at all. It seemed to me that, you know, it really screwed up the anti-terror fight in the late 90s, Monica Lewinsky. I mean, Bill Clinton was so preoccupied with Monica Lewinsky, A, and B, everything he did was seen through the prism. Oh, he's just attacking Iraq and Saddam Hussein, or he's just attacking Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan because he wants to distract the American public from concentrating on his philandering and his lying and his impeachment. I just think about when you think about ultimately the consequences of this Benghazi thing and the obsession we've had with these hearings, the seventh hearing now and all this stuff. The problem is when you start getting into that, and I'm talking about like impeachment and Monica and all that irrelevant crap. When you start focusing on stuff that has nothing to do with national security, you take your eye off the ball. You definitely take your eye off the ball. How much in terms of, you know, national security, when these hijackers were coming into this country in 2000 and the end of 2000 and 2001 with the hanging chads and the recount and the Supreme Court, do you think we really were paying attention to what was happening in the world? I don't think so. You think we really would have noticed these guys? I don't know, man. It just seemed to me, if you remember back then, if you're, you know, of a certain age, you remember back to 2001, it was a whole different world on September 10th, 2001, than it was on September 11th, 2001. We were absolutely uninvolved, unconcerned. The obsession was still to come. The administration of George W. Bush had no real purpose. It was kind of floundering around looking for a message. It had no message. September 11th changed everything in this country, and most of it for the worst. All right. Star Wars, race politics, my appearance on The Five yesterday. A lot to talk about after the news.
Where New York comes to talk.
Welcome to The Big Show, Tuesday, October 20th. It is 6 minutes after 11 o'clock. How's your morning going?
Had a lot of heat in my life at 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon. Sitting opposite Jess Waters and others on the 5 on the Fox News Channel. The subject became the Benghazi hearings. And Jesse, a bright young man who I like very much. I think he's one of the best and brightest of his millennial generation. And on TV now, he's really making a name for himself. But he misstated, I think, the reality when it comes to Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and Benghazi when he said that we could have done more to rescue those people once the attacks had happened. And, you know, I just hit the boiling point, as I am sometimes wont to do. And what you're about to hear is a clip from yesterday's unedited clip from yesterday's The Five on this topic.
In Libya, Obama led from behind, and then Hillary left her ambassador behind, because that's what this is about.
That's Benghazi. Such a lie.
They asked for security in
Raldo. She left her ambassador
behind. They denied.
How many times does the United States military?
Why wasn't the military?
Don't you believe the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff?
Why wasn't there?
Don't you believe the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of
9/11? In the Middle East, they couldn't save our guy.
You assert a lie and expect people to believe in your committee.
Nobody can hear either of you when you're talking at the same time.
And then they blamed it on a YouTube video. So. The committee is not driving her numbers down. She's driving her own numbers down. She was the one, like Eric said, to set up the secret server. She was the one to destroy emails, and then she was the one to go out and lie about it. It's like Nixon coming out and then blaming the Democrats on the Watergate committee for driving his poll numbers down. She tells lies every single day to the press, and they're out there giving her a nice round of applause, and then Ben Carson tells the truth, and they say, F you, Ben Carson.
The one lie, I cannot abide is the pathetic statement that Secretary Clinton left Ambassador Stevens and the other three heroes behind to die. That is a slander on the United States government and on the United States military. That is absolutely, and it is.
Why couldn't they save their guys? Why couldn't they save their guys on 9/11?
Kimberly makes an eloquent presentation for Trey Gowdy and an objective search for the truth. And then you say, we left people behind to die.
Did they not? Died.
They didn't have the proper
military posture in the Middle East on the anniversary of 9/11. That's not good, Geraldo. If you think that's good, that's
you're
pathetic.
Changing the subject. You said she left Ambassador Stevens behind to die. Which was
Stevens asked
false.
For security,
do you admit it's
and
false?
She denied it. She signed her name on it.
Two separate things. Stevens did ask for up to 13 security guards. He was denied it. He died subsequent to that. But you're making another comment
about what
happened.
How much
after.
Time passed between the request for security and his death? It sound as if he's extremist, well, he's under attack, where's my help? It's not
all
true.
Look, we can rehash all this all you want.
There's so much
what's important is that we get our hands on the emails because we find out about these things like Ambassador Stevens looking for additional security, denied.
I'll deal with that.
No, you should deal with that because
it's news accounts from Sid Blumenthal and others.
Stop. Dana, we've talked about this quite a bit. What by outing the name of that source, what Hillary Clinton has done is.
All right. It goes on and on. My point is this, and hear me clearly. For many, many months, years, actually, since this thing happened, the whole slogans, Obama lied, our people died, and so forth, have perpetrated a terrible falsehood. That falsehood was sold even to the families of the four heroes who died in Benghazi. And that falsehood was, we could have done something to save them once those attacks happened. And then there was this phony stand-down order. It never happened. It's been proven that it never happened. And still, conservative commentators bring it up whenever Benghazi gets brought up. Oh, we had a stand-down order, and Obama was watching Celebrity Jeopardy when he should have been sending in the special forces to save our people and so forth. It is absolutely false. It is untrue. It is a lie. It is a lie. And
However much of the impetus of these continued Benghazi hearing after hearing after hearing hearings, we were talking about 9/11. This Benghazi hearing on the death of the four Americans in the eastern city in Libya has gone on longer than the 9/11 hearings. I mean, come on. This is a lie. Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama could not have saved those people. Was it poor planning? Should there have been more security? All that kind of stuff. Sure. Did they spin the story afterwards saying it was a video and so forth? Sure. But everything that is a valid point is undermined by the lie, by the central lie that says we could have and we did not. That is so false. It is just, it's very difficult for me to believe in anything that gets said after that. Anything. Doesn't that impeach everything? Doesn't that undermine everything? This insistence that somehow our people, our president, our secretary of state were complicit in the deaths of Americans. That's where all this gets its juice from. Admit it. Admit it. That's where the fire comes from. You know, do you really care that we didn't have sufficient troops in Africa and so forth and so on and the intelligence, this and that? I'm telling you, history will point to this as one of the most grotesque misrepresentations ever. This is politicizing to the point of indefensibility. Okay, that's enough about that. Now I'm going to take some calls on politics, and then I want to get into the Star Wars thing because I really want to get into it. All right, now let me go to in Vernon. Jamie, thanks for calling. Jamie, what's on your mind, bud?
Hey, you know, you keep saying this is political. What about in New Jersey? The Democrats in New Jersey right now are going to hold more hearings on Bridgegate. Is that political?
I'm sick of Bridgegate, too. Well, I'm sick of Bridgegate.
Well, why do you?
I mean, we already had.
You know this is political. You
have,
know they're political.
All right. It's a fair point, but limited. I don't disagree with you. I just don't think it is that meaningful to my what I said about Benghazi. Smithtown, Joe's on the line. What's up, Joe?
Yeah, Geraldo, two things. First of all, Trump and Carson. I say they make a great combination. I call them fire and ice.
Fire and ice. I like that. Fire and ice.
Yeah, the only thing better would be Trump and Condoleezza Rice. So there may be something to it.
I don't think she has the heart for politics, though.
No, that's a rough game. Talk about competent and someone we can be proud of if she was to serve.
I'm with you on that.
This is the point, though. If you listen to that guy King, I forget his first name.
Peter.
Okay. This is the typical politicians versus the outsiders. Call them business people. What's the difference between the two? Accountability. Politicians aren't accountable for what they do in office. They only stay and try to get reelected, where business people like Trump and many of us, okay, if we do our job, we're successful. If we don't do our job, we pay for it.
All right. Okay. So does that undermine his ability to be intelligent on an issue? I mean, when I say that people are sick of
whose ability?
Peter King.
No. He's got, listen to the talking point. Listen how many times he said, not fit to be president. What he's doing is set out on a mission that you're going to hear from Bush. Well, by the way, I like George Bush. I really do.
What about Jeb Bush?
Jeb Bush, I don't think he's got the presence. I
you know what? And I said here, and I admit it when I'm wrong. Thanks, Joe. I thought Jeb Bush was the man. I thought he was exactly what the Republican Party needed. With his Mexican-American wife, with his command of Spanish, with his moderation on many social issues. You know, he's anti-abortion, but he's not offensively so. He's not in your face about it like his he's like his brother was on it, like his father, George H.W. Bush. They live and let live, kind of. I like that. Same thing about, gay marriage and so forth. Immigration policies, no doubt. But this is a guy that has not resonated at all. Jeb Bush seems to have shrunken since this process began. He just seems to be, to me, Noam, he is the biggest disappointment, the fact that he has been unable, and maybe we just put too many breezes in his sails too early because he has definitely not stood the test of the race so far. No.
You know, he needs one of these moments. Do you remember with his father when his father was vice president and was running for president, and people were calling him a wimp? They said he was a wimp, and he had that moment on the nightly news with Dan Rather. I mean, we're going back a lot of years, and he proved that he wasn't a wimp in that moment, and all of a sudden his campaign totally turned around. I think the same thing, Jeb is suffering from the same sort of thing. He looks like a wimp compared to Donald Trump, and he needs a moment like that. I don't know where it's coming or if it's coming, but he needs something like that to happen.
He does, and I remember George H.W. Bush. Remember, that's when he got that speedboat. Remember that?
Yeah, right.
He abandoned all the effete, waspy stuff,
that's
and he
right.
got himself a big power, big muscle boat. It was probably the first one ever in the history of Kennebunkport. Okay, one more call. I'm going to take a quick break, but he is from Brooklyn. Here's Bedwin. Hi, Bedwin.
Hey, what's up, Geraldo? How are you?
What's on your mind, bud?
Hey, I just had a comment to make about when Trump said with Bush about keeping America safe, or
sure.
when Bush said that.
Sure.
I just wanted to say during Katrina, I don't think that a lot of the people that were down there felt really safe when that was happening.
Good point.
I mean, I remember seeing you on TV, and you were by a bridge or something, and you were like, hey, they could just cross this way.
Right.
And it seemed so simple to do that. And why didn't they do that? And
I agree that Katrina was a terrible, terrible failure of the George W. Bush administration. It started his administration on a downward spiral from which it never recovered. There were definite racial overtones to the federal response, the woeful federal response to the Katrina disaster. And I think it's a shameful chapter, and it does mar President George W. Bush's legacy, even though, as I've said often, I voted for him in 2004, the year before Katrina. Get to your calls momentarily. Just want to give you a heads up. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to some of the Black Lives Matter folks. I think we're becoming race crazy in this country. And I think the debate over the new Star Wars movie is the best example of that. You could possibly see how people could be obsessing over that. I have no earthly idea. But Dan in New Jersey, thanks for calling 866 Geraldo. Dan, what's on your mind, bud?
Yeah, good morning, Geraldo. I want to connect two dots.
Please. Sure.
For the original 9/11, no one in this country that I'm aware of was ever held accountable for the massive intelligence failure that was.
True.
And I don't care what administration you're looking at. It
true.
Was massive.
It's true.
And yet, I listen to people like yourself. With all due respect, there's no apparent concern with intelligence failures or security leaks from Hillary Clinton using a private.
But term. You know, let me ask you this, Dan. Let me ask you this: did you ever call me during the Edward Snowden scandal? Edward Snowden gave away our secrets. He crippled our intelligence gathering. This is a year ago, and everybody was interested in Edward. So now people sort of like him. You know, the libertarians say, oh, he just struck a blow for civil liberties, this, that, and the other thing. My point is this. My point is, let me make my point. My point is this. If people were really, really, sincerely, substantively concerned about national security, why is it that the Hillary Clinton pipsqueak nothing, that no one has come up with anything other than regurgitated press releases, how could that obsess us in terms of security breaches or vulnerabilities when Edward Snowden, 1,000 times worse, came and went? It was nothing. It was nothing.
I don't think it's a valid comparison because he's not the Secretary of State.
Oh, come on. You know, are you really interested in national security or are you interested in defeating this woman and her party and the race for the White House?
I'll give you two things here. Number one, I'm absolutely interested in defeating her. That's a fact. But can you say to me on your show that you're not concerned that there were any security leaks?
I have, to the extent that I have any inside information, I am absolutely unconcerned. The biggest, best examples Trey Gowdy has been able to provide are absolute nothings. This whole story about the message from Sid Blumenthal, the friend of Hillary Clinton, that had this source revealed in writing. It was the secret document. It turns out that Trey Gowdy himself is the one that redacted the guy's name to make it look like it was top secret. It had no top secret classification. It didn't have any heading on it that said top secret. It is a bunch of bull. And Trey Gowdy was angry that the Democrats on the panel released it. It is absolute. Come on. I'm telling you, fair is fair. I like your call anyway. You're a good guy. Fair's fair. And this is, it's not about security. It's not about national security. You remember what Whitewater, remember Whitewater during the Clinton administration and that thing about that real estate deal in and around Little Rock, Arkansas? And that was the big thing, and the Republicans seized on Whitewater. And then Whitewater led to Paula Jones, and it led to President Clinton being deposed about Paula Jones. Did you ever have sex with this woman in Paula Jones? And he lied about having sex with Paula Jones because he got a blowjob, and he didn't think that was all this kind of stuff. I mean, it led to the impeachment of the president. It led to the impeachment of the 42nd president of the United States. I mean, he beat it in the trial in the Senate. But how preoccupied were we that this guy, this horny middle-aged guy, had oral sex in his office? That's what it was. And so Whitewater led to Paula Jones, led to the deposition, led to the lie, led to the impeachment, and led to the obsession that preoccupied this country for over 2 years. And that's what this is again. That's what this is again. And, it, you know, remember John Ashcroft? He was the attorney general under George W. Right? Look up Ashcroft. And how the Democrats were going after him because he was interfering with the appointment of U.S. attorneys. And that was a whole big thing. And the Democrats were, Ashcroft this and that. And he's imperiling the government and, you know, showing that, you know, even the Justice Department is impugned by politics. And then Ashcroft leaves office. And what do you ever hear about it again? It went away. It was just another one of those political orgies. You know, it's, yeah, it was under, he was in office from 01 to 05, Ashcroft. I don't think anyone ever apologized to him. Remember my friend Alberto Gonzalez, the attorney general, next one, how he got harassed out of office? I remember when I saw him in Washington, D.C., he had to, like, sneak into the back door of a restaurant to see me, to talk to me. Because I was, like, the only guy, you know, I have a way of attracting people who are wounded and on the run. He was the only, I was the only guy that he would trust to talk to, Alberto Gonzalez. And then that went away. And it's just, this is nothing. This is absolutely a bunch of nothing. Lisa, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Why do you protect Hillary Clinton so much? You protect her. You've been wrong about everything. You're wrong about Joe Biden getting in. Hillary Clinton.
I'm wrong about what? What have I been wrong about? You tell me, what am I wrong about? Give me one mistake. What am I wrong about? Aside from Lamar Odom dying.
Joe Biden's getting in. You said, no, he's not getting in.
I don't think he's getting in. I still don't think he's getting in.
Two constitutional lawyers, Mark Levin and Hugh Hewitt. Espionage Act, Hillary Clinton broke the law on that.
It's a bunch of baloney. You want to bet? I'll bet you money. I'll bet you money. I'll bet you.
Four, I think it is.
I'll bet you money that there's nothing there.
Mark Levin and Hugh Hewitt, another radio talk show host. I mean, you know nothing.
I know nothing except I'm right.
You hate conservatives. You
I hate liars. I hate liars.
Even though she's a big liar, private servant, etc. And the Espionage Act, like.
Stan, you're on with Lisa and me. What up?
Well, Geraldo, I'm backing you up 1,000%, baby, because when Mrs. Clinton goes on to testify on Thursday, you will watch why she will be the next president, because she will not take any garbage this time from anybody. She has the answers. She didn't commit any crimes. You're absolute. There's nothing there. And, Geraldo, I think when we see this, her act before the committee, she will show herself to be totally forthcoming.
Those stories about what happened.
It's true. All of it. The dark side. A Jedi.
It's calling to you.
I love that music. It was great.
the trailer for the new Star Wars, The Force Awakens. It aired, unfortunately, during Monday night's dismal Giants-Eagles game. An embarrassment for the team, the whole town, not the movie, the game. But the reason I bring it up, aside from the fact that I'm a huge Star Wars fan, was it's evidence, I think, of how race crazy we've become. I think we're gun crazy and we're race crazy. Anyway, after the trailer for the film aired on Monday Night Football, a couple of dramatic things happened. First, I'm sure you've heard this, even though the movie doesn't open for 2 months, December 18th. The websites that sell the tickets, Fandango and the others, they crashed, along with the servers of the major theater chains, which is great. I mean, I love the fact that there's all that pent-up demand. I remember waiting in line on May 25th, 1977, L.A., to see the original.
Really?
And I never stood in line. I mean, I made a point of not staying. I was already, like, 7 years famous, but I stood in line for that one. But I also remember, it was interesting, you know, at that time, particularly my long hair and everything, just a street lawyer, former street lawyer, became a TV personality, big reporter and all that. There were no black people in the first Star Wars. There were none, zero. Billy Dee Williams, Lando Kardashian, it's not Kardashian, something like Calrissian. Billy Dee Williams, he came in the various sequels. But for a while, it looked like there was no black folks in space. 38 years later, we have this exact opposite thing happen. The seventh movie in the epic series, now being threatened with a massive boycott for the opposite reason. The male lead's a black guy, a British actor, John Boyega. I never heard of him, don't remember ever seeing him. All these people are saying, hey, how do you have a male lead as a black guy in outer space? He Instagrammed, get used to it. You know, a lot of the problem comes from the fact that the director is, I guess, a progressive political activist. His name is J.J. Abrams, and he's a big-time Democrat. He had a big fundraiser at his home a couple of weeks ago, Pacific Palisades in California, outside of L.A. He raised $750,000 for the Democratic Party. J.J. Abrams, the Star Wars director, did. It cost $33,400 a pop to attend. The president was there at his home. Anyway, because of Abrams' politics and this controversial casting, there's an online movement that started to boycott Star Wars The Force Awakens for being anti-white. Anti-white. So there's a hashtag boycott Star Wars 7 because it is anti-white propaganda promoting hashtag white genocide. That comes from something called End Cultural Marxism. Another posting is, a friend in L.A. said Star Wars 7 is basically Black Lives Matter in space. Jewish activist J.J. Abrams is an anti-white nut. So you have the Hollywood Reporter and other celebrity sites. They're collecting all the racially oriented tweets. They got one from Captain Confederacy. Captain Confederacy. They really exist. I mean, I get them. That's why I never read my comments on social media, seldomly. Here's Captain Confederacy. They complain about white artists misappropriating culture created by blacks, but then celebrate a non-white Star Wars. It's nothing more than a social justice propaganda piece that alienates its core audience of young white males. That's another tweet. Reported by Hollywood Reporter. We're talking about a movie here. I mean, it's an iconic movie, but ladies and gentlemen, I mean, rather than dragging all this stupid stuff about contemporary race politics, isn't it sad that we can't just sit back and enjoy the ride? The ride back to a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away? And I wonder if Barack Obama was not the president, would we even be having this conversation, all this race sensitivity? And now Black Lives Matter? Black Lives Matter wants to have a presidential debate. Do we have a guest, Marty, on Black Lives Matter? Do you have a... Okay, she's going to call us. But we're going to have a debate. They want a Black Lives Matter-themed presidential debate, at least on the part of the Democrats. What do you think about that one? So what do you think about this? I mean, the star of Star Wars, The Force Awakens, Chapter 7,
is a black man. Should that even be an issue? I mean, why do we care? Would we notice if he was a white guy? You wouldn't notice, right? Okay, here's the Black Lives Matter spokesperson, L. Hearns. Hi. Hell, we lost her.
She hung up already. Jeez.
Anyway, what, something I said. Well, get her back on. I want to have some conversation. And what do you think about Black Lives Matter, the presidential debate? I just wonder. So how eager are you? Are you one of these people that know him, you just going to go on Fandango, try and get a ticket for opening night?
It's not me. It's my seven-year-old who is just like beyond excited to see the movie. So, yeah, you know, I have a feeling I'll be in line or one of the first people to see it. Not my doing. I mean, I'm curious, but not like he is. He's crazy for it.
I think that race in this country is the biggest domestic issue, remains the biggest domestic issue. And when you think about the presidential debates we have seen so far, I don't think, aside from being asked to comment on whether the phrase Black Lives Matter is appropriate, I don't think there's been any discussion whatsoever in either party about race relations. It is quite remarkable to me how they have avoided it. And so you see in issues like this movie, you see how sensitive everybody is to it, to the point of really, I think that it's, there's a pathos, a sadness here. I mean, we can't even be united when it comes to science fiction, that even science fiction has to become fodder for race relations. I don't know, it just seems kind of wacky to me. Tom in New Jersey, thanks for calling 866-RL. What's on your mind, Tom?
Hey, I'm calling. I do have a comment about the Star Wars thing, but also I called about character with Hillary Clinton. You keep saying that there's nothing there.
Well, do the Star Wars part first, and then I'll let you back into Hillary.
Okay, the Star Wars part. I think it's cool that they're doing the movie again. Yes, we're completely stupid with all the nonsense that we talk about with
stupid,
race.
Right? Stupid.
Injected into it. It's just there's no other word to describe it.
Do you think it would be that way if Obama wasn't president?
I don't think it's helping, but I think it would be because of the police brutality that's happened and some of the things that have happened, which, you know, the one thing I will say about that is that, you know, we have no statistical data that says, you know, how many crimes are committed by how many people and this and that. And like you said, all the black-on-black violence, the Chicago stuff, things that aren't being brought up. I mean, it's so out of perspective. All we really understand now is that white cops are shooting black kids, and that's it. And that's the whole discussion. And that is not a completely accurate perspective on the discussion.
I agree with that 100%. Okay, now what about Hillary?
I just think that when in the name of God does this country understand that the character of the person running it matters, right? We should have elected Mitt Romney, if you ask me, because this guy would have been working hard and doing the right things, and he would have brought in people around him. You know, the president, I saw a comment, you know, I realized the guy came into bad circumstances, and I believe he was unprepared, very ill-prepared for this job, right, because of his lack of experience in any other format. But that being said, you know, once he got elected, he basically closed the door on everyone and said, thanks for getting me elected, but I'll take it from here. And he doesn't know how to do half the things he's trying to do. And he has screwed up the Middle East. His policies and Hillary Clinton's, by the way, have screwed up the Middle East.
I agree with that. So let me ask you this before I let you go, Tom. Do you think that lack of experience, Barack Obama's lack of experience, doesn't that reflect ill on people like Donald Trump and Ben Carson and Carly Fiorina?
Well, yes and no. The problem with Barack Obama is he didn't know how to bring in good people, experienced, whether they were political or not. And Ben Carson, I think, lacks that as well. If Donald Trump has something, an arrow in his quiver, you can't deny that the guy knows how to bring in the best, and he knows how to pay them. Right. So the paid positions that would need to be brought on board, the paid teams that would need to be brought in as consultants, which always are. We just don't know about it. There's tons of people getting paid by the government to do work and tell us how to run policy. There's tons of people. And the people that would be brought in cabinet wise, this guy, he understands. Get away from all the circus act and everything. Everyone that believes that Donald Trump is stupid because of what he says, they're the ones that are stupid. Because
I'm with you on that. Tom, I got to let you go, Brad.
He's saving all the political or all the money, and he's not spending it because he doesn't have to.
He doesn't have to. He's a great businessman. Tom, thanks. You know, I see that Donald Trump was on. He's everywhere. The reason that caller Tom was so right on. Trump is so smart. He's not spending a dime on anything. Everybody else is spending all this money. He's getting all the free publicity. Trump could be on every minute someplace if he wanted to be. He could be on every minute. I remember my friend Cheech telling me that Up in Smoke was playing someplace in the world every single day. Trump is on television someplace every single minute, it seems to me. And I personally think he's wearing well. I think that the more he's on, the less crazy he seems, the less you think about, you know, the superficial stuff, hair and so forth. But he's going to be hard to beat for the Republican nomination. The question will be, and this is why I'm going to urge him again to have that dinner with me at a Mexican restaurant. The key will be whether people of color can swallow, their objection to the rawness and ill-advised phrasing of some of his policy positions. He can make them so much more palatable if he wanted to. But I think that right now, aside from the fact that he's reaching such a broader audience, he wants to keep the crazies because they're motivated. All right, let me just say that we'll continue to track the latest polls going into tomorrow. I think that I mentioned the Star Wars thing. I just want to button that up. The boycott Star Wars 7 hashtag is the hottest thing. You know, the trending. It's the hottest. It's trending right now. But happily, I have to say that we just looked it up, and the racist tweets are far outnumbered by those condemning the hashtag or whatever, the condemning the movement to boycott Star Wars because it promotes white genocide. It's designed to demoralize and destroy white people. I mean, this is the kind of nonsense that led to the slaughter in Charleston in that black church. That crazy that crazy kid with the guns. Anyway, we got to get over it. So I hope you'll be right here tomorrow. Weather's getting better. For a little while. Winter coming, though. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you right here tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Save big money on your kitchen projects at Menards. We carry everything you need to turn your kitchen dreams into reality. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, get 15% off everything you can fit in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.